You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the Nord deck there. The crew's faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy!
Is the final edition of the Massive Report for the 2014 season. My name is Matt Goshard. Good evening and welcome into it live at Hendox. Big crowd on hand tonight. A couple of different reasons for that.
I have to admit that does make me sad a little bit.
What's that?
The fact that it's the last podcast of the season, though, that your name's Matt Goshard.
That would be really weird if you were upset that I have a name.
Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Dobby is a free elf. Thank you very much.
You and your names. Fancy. Sorry, go on.
I'm joined by Nate Beckman, Greg Benson's here, Sam Fahmy's hitting the buttons, turning the gears. We're going to have Justin Bell on in a little while. Who else? Chris Lamaki is here for once, or Chris
it's
Tarion.
Easy to forget about him.
Yeah, Chris Tarion, because he did just get married, and he took Rachel's name. It's true. Lots of stuff going on, and I want to get right into it and talk about this.
Do we need to wave it?
We do need to wave. Oh, if you're hearing this now, you already know that we're live streaming tonight. Welcome.
That's true.
between 8 and 9, we've never done this before, we're doing open phones. So this is going to be interesting. Between 8 and 9 o'clock tonight, Sam's posted all the information at the site. Is that correct?
On Facebook.
On Facebook, and you're going to tweet it out in a little bit, too, because I just told you to. Open phones tonight. Call in, ask us anything that has to do with anything, and we will do our best to botch the answers as much as is humanly possible. That's what's going on tonight. Big thing, though, that's going on that I want to get right into, and Lisa Watford's joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Obviously, everybody knows the story, the lightning delayed game earlier this year, the tragic story of Stu Tudor, a local firefighter who was injured after being struck by lightning, and is still, fortunately, from what I've been hearing, starting to make a bit of a recovery, but obviously has a tough path ahead of him as far as that goes.
A long road ahead of
yes.
him.
Yes.
It's a slow process.
So one of the things that we're doing tonight, and first of all, anybody can donate to this. We are going to be, the crew is doing a thing online right now with the GoFundMe. It's GoFundMe.com/Lieutenant-Stu-Tudor. That's where you can go make your donations. The crew is matching the first $10,000 in donations, which I think is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And tonight, we're doing a raffle at the show that you can also participate if you're watching us online right now. Anybody who donates during the show, we're going to be doing drawings throughout the evening. Anybody who donates during the show is going to get an opportunity to win. There's two crew autographed signed jerseys. There is a couple of autographed team balls. There's a Michael Parkhurst autographed jersey, which is pretty cool, and a couple other posters and things along those lines. Plus, Greg Benson will shovel your driveway is the other thing.
With the amount of snow we're not getting right now, I'm actually good with that arrangement.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'll scrape the dirt for about 10 minutes and then call it a day.
Tickets are $2 each, 3 for $5, and if you donate a whole bunch of money, we'll just figure out something really cool to do. We'll figure something out. So yeah. Anybody who wants to drop a couple thou, we're totally fine with that. So kind of run us through, obviously the GoFundMe page started. I can't imagine the bills and things along those lines that friends and family are going through right now. But can you kind of give us an update, first of all, of how he's doing, what his condition is right now, and all that?
I can. He is he's progressing slowly.
Okay.
So as time goes on, things are starting to come back. We're waiting on nerves to regenerate. There's a whole process that starts from the shoulders all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So with Stu's injury, he was struck through the head, so it's got his entire body that needs to regenerate at this point. So,
and from what I understand, this is almost unprecedented that he actually
survived
through, and that the progress that he's made so far. It's
correct.
Not something that many people even know how to deal with, including doctors and support groups and things.
It's very rare that anybody survives this type of lightning strike, let alone most people are struck through the arm, through the leg. But he is, since it happened, he has since got the trach out.
Okay.
So he does. So he's able to eat. He's able to talk.
Good.
So slowly but surely, he's starting to move fingers, arms, and shoulders. So it's looking, like I said, we're hopeful, we remain positive, but it's just a long, long road. I think it's going to be a lifetime.
Yeah, it totally. Well, it's been something it's been at the forefront of everybody in the crew community's thoughts. You know, we've talked about it a few times on the show, and it's tragic that it happened, but it is good to hear that he's making progress. And we're seeing on the Nate's actually got the website pulled up right now. It looks like $7,303 donated right now.
Nice.
That's fantastic. We want to try to move that needle tonight. So that's the big thing, especially for those of you who are at the bar. They're buying raffle tickets already, and if they're not, I'm going to send Morgan Hughes after them. Everybody who's listening to us online, either come out to the bar. We'll probably be here till at least about 9:30. But go ahead and jump on the website, gofundme.com/lieutenant-stew-tutor. I want to make sure that I said that. Oh, cool. And Sam tweeted out the link as well, so everybody can check out that. Thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on the show. We really appreciate having you, and really appreciate you guys coming out. And best of luck as far as everything, and for the best possible recovery for Stu. Our thoughts are definitely with him, and we'll want to continue to check in as he continues to progress, and hopefully nothing but the best.
Thank you.
We have him on the podcast.
I would love to do that.
I would love to have him.
I would love to do that.
I would love for him to be on the podcast.
That would be fantastic.
Was he much of a soccer fan beforehand, or was it just kind of like he happened to be here?
He coached his son's soccer team when he was little.
There you go.
So.
That's cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'd love to open invite. So
one of us.
Well, thank you so much for having us or for being on the show and coming out and sharing his story with us, and hopefully we can raise a lot of money tonight. That's one of the goals. So thank you. So we're gonna talk. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I can't talk today. The protected list came out for the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have another expansion draft. Do not like that. I'm not a fan of that. And so we're gonna talk about all that sort of stuff.
Was there a game yesterday too?
Yeah, the MLS Cup apparently happened. We had LA and New England, and spoiler alert. The Los Angeles Galaxy won.
They were first to five.
First to five.
Well, technically, New England's also first to five, just in a different way.
New England did secure the spot as the Buffalo Bills of the Major League Soccer's. So we're going to go to break right now. We're going to come back with the full panel, and we'll talk about a lot of this stuff. Plus, Morgan Hughes made special shots for us. All that and more. It's coming up. This is the Massive Report.
Most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. Those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Just like any other boy, and he never had no troubles till he started up his Oi Band. Same in the garage.
We're back at his segment two with the Massive Report. Remember, big fundraiser going on right now for Lieutenant Stu Tudor and his family. GoFundMe.com/Lieutenant-Stu-Tudor. Get there if you donate during the show tonight, which is going to be running until about 9:30-ish or whenever Willie decides to kick us out. You will earn yourself some raffle tickets, and you may win some awesome crew autographed gear. Lots of stuff going on as far as that goes. Tickets are $1 for $2 and $3 for $5. The crew. Well, let's talk crew protected list first, because I think this is kind of a little more important and a little more on the hearts and minds of the crew community than MLS Cup. We'll talk about that in a little bit here.
Can I just cover one thing before we do that?
You cut me off.
I'm sorry. I was tweeted at during the break.
He was tweeted at.
I was tweeted at, not to at.
He got a tweet.
I did get a tweet during the break.
Stop the presses, everyone. Greg got a tweet.
Yeah. Crew 96, not the actual Crew 96, which is Crew SC now, in case you missed the boat. Gregulator 614 wears leather jackets because Australia, I guess. This is actually a crocodile that I killed with my bare hands at age 8, and I had reached puberty at that point from a steady diet of spiders and stuff.
I just thought you were wearing it to your gig in 1984, opening for Jay Leno in the Poconos.
Well,
later.
That's how old I was back then.
That's
no, not quite, but close enough.
So also joined by Chris Lamaki and Justin Bell, as I completely ignored
it's
you guys.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
We're afterthoughts in most people's lives. It's fine.
Let's talk about the list.
Kind of like MLS Cup that way.
Yeah, pretty much.
The crew has protected a group of players. We've got Steve Clark, Waylon Francis, Pogatetz, Parkhurst, Chani, Finley, Miram, Jimenez, Gall, Higuain, and Kamara. That is the protected list. As we just have, there's so many people here tonight.
It's incredibly packed.
It is really loud.
We've got a great crowd.
Is this thing on?
Is that the radio phrase? We got a great crowd here.
We got a great crowd.
We got a great crowd here tonight. We got a great show for you.
Yeah.
Give yourselves a round. No, don't give yourselves a round.
Justin, initial reaction to the protected list.
I think it's what we expected. Eric Gehrig's not on a protected list, which is kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how this thing works anymore, and I don't think anyone out there rationally can explain it. So your guess is as good as mine. It's fine. It sucks. Whatever. It's somewhere in between all of those things.
I don't understand why the hell we have to protect Kai Kamara.
I don't. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I don't understand that.
I think it's the same reason, if I could. I think it's the same reason that we also have to protect Eric Gehrig. Even though neither one of them is technically on our roster right now, we technically own their rights.
But he hasn't even played a flippin' match
right.
for us.
Eric Gehrig is equally as out of contract as Kai Kamara is. The difference is one is coming and one is going.
Yeah, like we use the allocation.
Yes.
I think if you're going to have a protection list, if you're going to have an expansion draft, then I guess it makes as much sense as anything
right.
else.
It makes as much sense as having an expansion draft with millionaires you can sign
right.
from any country in the world.
Yeah. I suppose that if it's possible for a team to actually build their team before they're supposed to build their team with an expansion draft, which is the whole point of having a goddamn expansion draft, is to build your team. And if the team can build their team before they build their team, then I guess nothing is true, therefore all things are possible.
It's Calvin.
This is complete garbage.
Yo, I heard you like building your team, so we're going to let you build your team before you build your team.
Just build your team.
That's what's going on here.
Like, the trades that happened before today.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, that's
nuts.
That's the other thing. Bernardo Anor going to Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah.
And Josh Williams going to New York City FC. Josh Williams is going to New York City FC so that New York City FC doesn't pick him up in the expansion draft for nothing.
And right. then there's this notion like that there's some sort of maybe a possibility of a backroom deal where, well, we'll trade you this guy so you don't take him.
Well, and that goes along with what New England did. Did you hear about New England?
Oh,
New England made a trade. New England made a trade with New York City FC and Orlando City FC so that they would not take Diego Fagundes, and they left him unprotected.
Yeah.
And then they tweeted about it. Not only did they break the rules.
This whole thing is bullshit. This whole thing is just pure bullshit. I mean, look, the trade for Anor to Kansas City makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does.
Makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And that's what should have happened today. It should have been just the teams that have existed making trades.
The teams that have played a match.
But there's teams that don't exist. And they have nothing, yet they can still make trades on allocation money. What? Where are they getting this allocation money?
Where do they have allocation?
This is nonsense.
They haven't allocated
this is
anyone
nonsense.
Yet.
Yeah. This is absolute abject nonsense. And this league is bullshit.
Let's remember that the year before Seattle came in, they were fined by Major League Soccer for breaking league rules.
Oh, all of them.
Not during the offseason in between two seasons. In the season in which they weren't even alive as a thing yet.
During the playoffs of the 2008 season.
When they tampered with Siggy but didn't really tamper.
Right.
Yeah,
and then they paid money in penalty for doing something that they didn't really do.
Yeah, they basically settled out of court.
And then
Brad Evans.
Yeah, Brad Evans. Evans.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Siggy had nothing to do with that.
No, of course not. No, no.
It's just garbage.
I do love garbage. I did see this tweet from a Chicago Fire supporter, Petro62. Congrats to those that Chicago did not protect.
Yeah. Hey, did anybody, speaking of not protect, did anybody else see that Thierry Henry's available?
Yeah.
So wait, is that what you're talking about?
And yes. So is Tim Cahill, for the record.
And Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill is
available. But only one of those guys is retired. What?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, so Alex Stanek just handed me a tweet by Paul Tenorio, who's a writer, right? So he tweeted that who wrote this?
It's their GM, Brian Bellio.
Yeah, he's quoting Brian Bellio. He said he can confirm that both Orlando City and New York City FC received allocation money in exchange for not taking Diego Fagundes.
So, yep.
Now tell me again.
So you can buy
tell
an
me
additional
again.
Allocation spot? Yeah. Or
tell
no,
me again
predict-
that this is a legitimate soccer league that we're supporting. Yeah. Tell me again this. Because you're wrong. You're flat wrong. This is not a legitimate soccer league. This is some sort of, like... This is some sort of board game that Twins play, only they know the rules.
Wait,
they know them mentally, and they communicate them telepathically.
Was it a blind draw?
No. We're not that lucky.
Did they say what they actually traded?
Don't start him.
Was it text messages?
No. The trade was allocation money for not drafting Diego Fagundes.
So they basically lying, I'm gonna come no, across no, the table if you're
no,
lying.
No, no, it's
what Alex Janik just tweeted.
So basically, what they've done is they.
Please, I hope MLS people are watching this right now or listening to this.
First of all, based on the rules, this cannot be
Simon
this cannot be treated as an actual trade. So what I would love to see either NYC or Orlando do is just call the bluff, take Fagundes anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that would be hilarious.
And then see whose kneecaps get broken. See who winds up at the bottom of the Hudson.
Nothing is binding in this.
Right.
Like, that's the whole thing. It's not...
It's essentially...
No, they'll send them to a slave labor camp in Bahrain.
Sam went there.
Oh,
Sam went there. Nothing is anything in this.
No.
Nothing is binding, Sam.
So...
Garbage.
Yeah,
it's completely. I was totally fine with the entire process because that's what American sports do when they expand. Is they have an expansion draft. I was totally fine with the entire process, as much as it sucks. Until just about 20 minutes ago, when I heard about New England making this deal.
That's what American sports do when they expand. But American sports, unless you're talking about the East Coast Hockey League, don't expand every other year.
No. You're very correct. And
they're also not picking from...
Be that as it may, the other American sports don't let the new coming teams trade the day of, the day that expansion...
The reason that Major League Baseball, when they expand, which hasn't happened in forever, the reason that they have an expansion draft is because all of the elite baseball players in the world play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, right.
Right. And that's the that's
completely
it.
Makes sense.
That is right. It. That's the key to all of this, and this is why this notion that you have to American soccer has to compete with American sports is so wrong, fundamentally wrong. This is not an American sport. This is a world sport. No, and the more that you try to make it an American sport, the worse you're going to make it.
Justin, everything's an American.
I just had an image of the Arizona Diamondbacks just buying the entire roster of the Tokyo Giants and trying to play a game in MLS. Or in MLS, in Major League Baseball. I mean, I think
Ryan Gear just corrected you on the name of a Japanese baseball team in the background.
Oh, sorry, Ryan. Ryan Gear knows the name of every Japanese baseball player and team.
Giants coffee
right. God.
Ryan, this is why we love you, Ryan. You will pass out of this bar at a moment's notice, but the moment somebody says Tokyo, you're like, what? You're like a mom whose child misses a heartbeat in its sleep, and you're just like, whoa, what was that? I love you for it. I really do.
Anyway, this
is back to what you're
saying. Going on. I needed to lighten the mood a little bit. Just raise the morale.
Oh my god. I can't even.
Ryan, have a bit more of your medicine and maybe take a nap for an hour. That'd be great.
They have an explosive atmosphere. That
so
place.
Then the other. I, okay, nope. the draft happens tomorrow at 10, right?
No, it's 10, Wednesday at 10.
10 in the morning?
I think so.
Is it noon? Okay, 10. So, but on that day, we're going to find out if the Crew lose two players. That's the most that we can possibly lose is two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Unless they change the rules halfway through the expansion draft.
Which is entirely possible.
There should be an asterisk below it, and it should say, and these are the rules unless Don Garber decides the rules should be different halfway through. And then they're going to be.
But apparently it doesn't matter, because you can make a trade and maybe not have two players taken?
I don't know.
And no one has to know?
Maybe.
Possibly? So, like, what we can say is, let's say the Crew, that two players aren't taken from the Crew.
Yeah.
Then what we should do at that moment is just jump to a conclusion and say, well, clearly there was some really, really amazing business that was transacted where we didn't lose two players. So thank God we have MLS.
Anthony Precourt is ferociously Googling how he can overnight a crate of Jenny's ice cream to Orlando for tomorrow.
Executed a trade. Did they kill the trade?
Yes.
They executed the trade. They killed
it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Can I make
so
one?
So there's this. This is so happening. This,
that's
right
a
now.
That's a thing.
The day after the season.
The day after the MLS Cup.
So.
Oh yeah.
So wait. Let's talk about the players from the rest of the league that are also unprotected.
Okay.
Notable unprotected.
Notable unprotected.
Thierry Henry.
Tim Cahill.
A guy named Eddie Johnson. You may have heard of him.
Yeah.
Alan Gordon is. Is unprotected.
Edson Buttle
is unprotected.
Thomas McNamara, also from DC United,
yes.
Who is the rookie.
Claudio Baylor from Sporting Kansas City.
Yep.
Jairo Arrieta. Dominic Aduro is unprotected in case anybody wants to pick him up for a third of a season.
Yeah. Houston left Corey Ash unprotected. I know that.
John Bush is unprotected.
John Bush.
Donovan Ricketts, which is surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was surprising until Orlando signed who today? They signed some really good keeper. What was
Tally Hall.
That's him. Because there's only one Tally Hall.
Yeah.
True story.
Again, Diego Fagundes. God bless it.
Danny O'Rourke
is unprotected.
Danny O'Rourke is unprotected. And so is Andy Grunebaum, if we're talking ex-Crew players.
Yeah. Are we...
Did you mention Brian Carroll?
Brian Carroll is unprotected, yeah. Which is crazy because he was their captain last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and not protect the captain. I realize the guy is like my age, but he's still a rock in a midfield that needs a whole lot of rocks.
Yeah.
It's just... The amount of talent that is available in this draft makes me feel really, really good about the Crew's chances of keeping both Eric Gehrig and Ben Spies.
Yeah. That's the other thing that we
I
didn't
said
think
it before
about.
When we were before we were on the air, I'm gonna say it again. All I want for Christmas is for someone to take Tyson Wall.
Unfortunately, the first
can
half
we,
of your statement
can we execute a trade
didn't really
new,
set up the second half of your statement very well.
Can we execute a trade with anyone to get rid of Tyson Wall?
See, what you said was the amount of talent that's in this on the unprotected list that's now going to be available makes us feel good about who's not going to get taken. Guess what, buddy? Tyson Wall ain't going anywhere.
Hey, Shawley either. Joseph's unprotected. Oh, and that brings me to my other point is Justin.
Shawley Joseph is still playing.
I know, right?
Wow.
Justin, you know how we can make this expansion draft malarkey a whole lot better and way more entertaining and a whole lot less crappy?
How, Chris?
Well, it's a really easy thing. You let everybody have a pick. All the teams. Everybody releases, protects 11 players. And then your two expansion teams, they get their picks. And then everybody else gets to play, too. So it just becomes a giant free-for-all. Yeah.
Let's just not have contracts
you get
anymore.
Shuffle the deck.
You get a pick. Everybody gets a pick.
Well, the thing is that if this is still going to be single entity, this reminds me so much of a league that's trying so hard to
have rules?
No, that's trying so hard to implement this sort of self-imposed parity. Like, why not just everybody goes back in and everybody is redrafted at the end of every season?
It's not even parody.
It doesn't matter. They have redraft absolutely everybody.
They have leagues like
that. Genius.
They have leagues like that, Greg. It's called fantasy football.
Which is pretty much what we're playing. Which is Don Garber's fantasy football team.
Don Garber is living in a fantasy world right now, so this is fantasy football, since half the clubs are called FC anyway, even though we call it soccer in this country.
Yeah, and apparently we're wrong for that. I know. Yeah.
I just say fantasy football, just have everybody thrown back into the pool at the start. And just,
okay.
Well, it's kind of what's happened today.
I mean, if it's going to be arbitrary.
We might as well, I mean, since everybody gets a pick, I would take Jack Jewsbury.
But see, I don't think that it is arbitrary.
He's unprotected.
He is unprotected.
I think that it. I think there's actually a concerted effort being made here to make certain teams more appealing in their markets. Because the markets, what's most important is not the results on the field. What's most important is the television. TVs are turned on in certain cities.
Yep.
Not in Columbus, Ohio.
No, just certain cities.
Not in Salt Lake City. Not that doesn't matter.
Not Kansas City.
Yeah, what you need to have is people in Florida tuning in next year. You desperately need to have that. You need to have people in Philadelphia, New York, you know,
New England. So you got to have New England so Bob Kraft builds a stadium.
Los Angeles, you need to have people tuning in to watch this.
And then Dan Shaughnessy will still give them crap.
That's the whole point of all of this.
But that's why there's going to be two teams in L.A. That's why
there's going to be two teams in New York next year.
Don Garber seems to think that that's going to make it make more sense. We're going to do a couple of the raffles.
There was a 0.6 share for the MLS Cup yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, that's up 0.1 over last year.
That's the exact same share that the MLS Cup got at this bar. Because six-tenths of the bar was watching that, and the rest were watching the Browns.
The college football playoff show where they picked the teams got a 1.6.
Of course they did.
Wait. Was that over the entire hour or just the first 15 minutes when they released the team?
Who knows?
So am I drawing a number?
Give me one second. I just want to plug this on the... So we have two match day programs. Both of them are autographed. That's pretty awesome. So Michael Parkhurst and a Will Trapp. We're going to be drawing for these right now. We still have two team autographed jerseys, a Michael Parkhurst autographed jersey, a couple of team autographed balls. If you're not here, go to GoFundMe.com/Lieutenant-Stew-Tutor. Put some money in, and we'll be putting that in.
We have somebody
from the crew monitoring the GoFundMe account. That's perfect. Yes, anybody who does, we will be putting your name in the bowl, we promise. If for some reason we skip you, Chris will be thrown out in the street. Yeah, thrown out in the cold. We're gonna draw these names and then I'll plug that.
We're gonna start here.
What?
Draw that and then we're gonna start taking calls.
We're not gonna take a break?
Nope.
All right.
Breaks are for wussies.
You get a break when you die. All right, so I'm drawing a number.
Hey, all right, Rachel, what number do you have?
All right, the first number that I'm drawing.
The first number that you drew
is 052-968.
052-968. Let's see if I won.
Zero. We got a winner?
Right there. Sarah won. That's awesome. Which one do you want, Trapp or Parkhurst? Sweet.
Will Trapp.
There you go.
Get the franchise.
All right. Second one's for Michael Parker.
I want to say that when I touched that, I noticed it has healing properties.
It does have healing properties.
Michael Parker. All right. Next ticket number is 052. I don't know why I'm yelling. 940.
Ooh. Oh man, I'm like 10 off.
I'm drawing another one.
he's not technically an employee of Massive Report.
Yep, so. There we go. Good job, Alex. Yay. All right, so
congratulations.
We've never done this before. Justin, you're gonna want to put your headphones on actually, because we are gonna go to the phones. We are a professional organization here. Sorry, I just dropped everything.
Never mind. I was going to make a joke and then jump.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to go to the phones right now. If you swear or say anything nice about Toronto FC, we're hanging up on you.
Also, if you say anything nice about New England, Seattle, the EPL,
Chicago,
DC, Yeah, Chicago
half
Fire.
Of New York.
Kansas City, Portland,
we're gonna lose.
San Jose.
Yeah, we're not going to have any phone calls.
No.
No, they can say nice things about San Jose, I guess. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. Do they know the way to San Jose?
I don't know if they do or not. I'm kind of confused about that. So I did want to point out one thing. Cowtown Calico had a great tweet that it's so much better when you can see Justin lose his mind in MLS rage instead of just hearing it.
Wait, are we live?
It's a privilege. It's a privilege that's only ever been afforded to the lucky few who sit at these tables.
Yes, and also
it's all an act.
Welcome. Spicy Calzone wants
to
know if
Matt getting all the tweets and I'm not getting any
because I'm searching the MRPod hashtag right now. By the way, you can also tweet at us hashtag MRPod. And somebody needs to get me some coffee.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I'll take another. Can you
make tell Willie to make it my special coffee? Will Ethan, we do have a question though. Are we going to be raffling off the Ethan Finley cleats from the Shuttlesworth crime scene?
Are we going to be Shuttlesworth crime
I think they're still in forensics.
That was not a crime scene.
I don't think that they've been released by the Boston Police Department or the Foxborough PD rather.
Yeah.
Yet.
They're still locked up.
Do we have a caller, Sam?
We have actually two in the queue.
We have two callers in the queue.
We have a queue.
Oh my god.
No, anybody who says long-time listener, first-time caller, I'm going to be your best friend forever.
Anybody that says happy birthday?
Do we have names? Are we screening you?
Happy birthday, Chris.
Jerry Legend.
All right. Jerry Legend, number one caller. Jerry
from all the way
Jerry from Cincinnati, you're on the air. What's up?
No, he's not on the air.
Oh, you're not on the air yet. Hang on.
We actually don't have two in queue. We have to make two.
We have to call.
He's on.
Jerry Legend from Cincinnati, you're on the air. What's up, buddy?
What up?
Hey. So you got a question for us, man.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. Oh, great. I was just wondering. If you guys had a, within reason, unlimited budget, what would buy each of the other panelists for Christmas?
An unlimited budget.
If I had an unlimited budget, what would I buy? What would we buy each of the other panelists for Christmas? That's a great question, Jerry. I'm going to start with me. First of all, I would buy Sam college for his kids because I'm that nice of a guy.
There you go.
I would buy Chris permission to get his balls out of Rachel's purse once a week. I would buy Justin Bell a new car because he needs one, and possibly an Italian coffee bar where he can watch soccer in the morning. And I'd buy Greg a social security number.
That was the best answer possible.
That was,
All right, Greg, you.
I ain't getting you crap now. I'll tell you that much for nothing. No, you took my answer about Justin. I would get Justin a new car. Anything but a Chrysler, my friend.
You guys suck.
I would buy Chris a separate plane ticket somewhere else that Rachel doesn't go because I want the rest of the world to see what it's like when they're not together all the time.
Has that ever happened?
I would buy Matt the Perth Glory, not a jersey, just the Perth Glory.
Okay, fair enough. That goes for like what, $52?
It's pretty much.
And a couple of sheep.
Well, they did win last week, so their stock is rising. They're
63.
At 54 now. Yeah.
Okay.
Sam, I have no idea. A new sarcophagus. I have no clue. What are you going to do?
All right, Justin.
I would buy all of you the understanding that happiness cannot be gained in things.
So you're going to be a cheap ass. That's,
yeah,
what,
that's what I'm going
to
do.
A donation has been made in your name to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. The Human Fund.
Yes, the Human Fund.
Such a Justin answer.
That is very Justin. Chris, what do you got?
Well, I would take my unlimited budget, and I would, first of all, buy Matt a new car. Because as much as Justin says he needs it, Matt needs it more. I would buy Greg permanent citizenship here in the U.S. of A.
Thank you. That's the best gift anyone could give.
I'm torn with Sam. Matt had a really good answer with a college for the kids or a new house. Because Sam needs to have more parties. His house just isn't built for it.
Yeah.
And Justin, my dear, dear sweet Justin.
Oh God.
My dear sweet Justin. Oh, I would make all of Justin's dreams come true. I would buy him the Columbus Crew.
Oh God.
I would actually have to change. Oh, go ahead.
I'd have to be a business partner with like Adrian Hanauer.
I would.
Never mind.
Sam would get college for his kids, but also a brand new bidet. That would be the other thing. Sam, you got an answer on this one?
I don't.
All right, Jerry, you got anything else for us?
That's it.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Talk
Thanks,
to you soon.
Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Who do we got up next, Sam?
Keep talking while I get Josh in here.
Okay. We're going to keep talking
here. We're going to keep talking. Hey, Matt, cheers to the coffee club.
Cheers to the coffee club.
Yeah.
Got a big steaming cup of
Joe.
Which is really sad.
Are we making an outbound call?
Yeah, it's outbound call.
Josh P.
From
Josh
Fort
P.
Wayne, Indiana.
Wow. Long distance caller.
Josh, how's it going? It's not.
I'm confused by all this technology.
It's still ringing, apparently. This is
Josh, answer your phone.
Answer your telephone. Even if it's not ringing, answer your telephone.
Well, I'm looking, by the way, so I'm looking through some of the players who were left off of the list.
The available players?
Yeah.
It's really interesting list, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, there are guys. I mean, none of them are really all that surprising to me. There's some former crew players on there, Edson Buttle.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I'm really surprised that Mauro Rosales is available.
Wait, Buttle's not protected?
No, he's not protected.
Wow.
But I think what you're seeing, though, is like, I think you see sort of what the teams are viewing their teams for next year to look like
no,
in a way.
I kind of get that, but at the same time, like, I think it's a combination of that, where you're building for next year.
Right.
You're saving guys for next year, but at the same time, you have to kind of wing in a prayer some of these guys and hope that, like, in the case of our own beloved Eric Gehrig, that you don't protect him and hope that there's an executable trade available with, you know, the two teams that are coming in, and hope that someone else who's more attractive to what they're going to do, because everybody knows how Jason Kreis is going to play. So if you know what Jason Kreis is going to do and what he's going to build for, you can kind of work around that.
Which is really interesting, because today RSL traded Nat Borchers to the Timbers, and I sort of expected Jason Kreis to go after him. Mm-hmm. If he was left unprotected, there's no doubt he was going to go and play. So, like, you look at some of the players who RSL left unprotected: Ned Grabovoy, Chris Winger.
Yeah.
I mean, Robbie Finley. I mean, Rich Balchin and Cole Grossman, a couple of our former guys.
Rich Balchin didn't retire. I'm pretty sure Rich Balchin retired.
He did, but then he came back.
Oh, so he did a Robbie Rogers?
No, he did.
No, he prayed on it a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a Landon Donovan prequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I think those are guys who...
Retired.
Yeah, he's retired.
Man, I got coffee here. I got a cup of hot coffee.
But I think those are players. I think Ned Grabovoy and Chris Winger are a couple of guys who are definitely on Jason Kreis's short list.
Yeah.
Can I add someone to my Christmas list?
What's that?
I would buy Morgan Hughes a never-ending supply of fabric.
Yeah. That would be good. We did have Cowtown Calico said nobody bought Mixed Discord for Justin. He's disappointed.
No.
Yeah.
Well, not now. Not that I find out he can get me stuff.
Justin got all the other cool things in the world. He could buy his own Mixed Discord.
Yeah. Justin just wants Mixed Discord in a giant bow in his living room.
And nothing
now this
else.
Now this is getting weird, and he's not going to want to come to it.
No.
It's
we love you, Mix.
It's actually Cowtown Calcio, not Calico.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I can't read.
Every time he said that over the years, over the weeks, I've always wanted to correct
him. Has it been over the years? I
didn't know. It's been weeks, at least. That you've said.
I thought, Matt, I always thought it was Calico, too.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm dyslexic. But that's fine for making fun of me, Greg.
Are you dyslexic?
Dyslexic, yes.
He's part of DNA, the National Dyslexic Association.
Well, another, also, getting back to soccer.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know, to see what Sporting Kansas City is going through right now is also very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
They lost today Aurelian Collins, who was the MVP from the MLS Cup.
Grant Thurman.
the other Grant Thurman.
That was a huge... I think that's a big loss for them. He was out of contract, and so I suppose that they felt like they needed to do something with him before they lost him.
It's only a big loss if there weren't a whole lot of dollar bills coming the other way, because they traded for allocation money, right? So if you got $250,000 allocation dollars, or allocations,
That's a currency now.
That's a, in this league, it is a by God currency.
All MLS Cup.
If you got the right price, I would say, yeah, okay. Because what did he do for you this
year? They also lost CJ Chapong, though.
That is a bigger surprise.
And Philadelphia sent, I believe, like $150,000 to Sporting Kansas City for CJ Chapong. See, like, my thoughts on this are obviously a little bit, I'm sure people call it a tinfoil hat, whatever, I don't care. Money in this league doesn't matter as much as it matters in other soccer clubs.
Yeah.
And the reason is this, what we found out last year is another completely arbitrary rule, the allocation order.
Yep.
We sat at the top of the allocation order for most of the year last year, while player after player got sent to
other teams,
and it didn't matter
because they were at a specific or
above a certain threshold
because they were getting signed by teams that
the league pays attention to.
So here we go again. Like, you know, I'm imagining that the crew got something for Bernardo Lenore.
Yeah,
it was said that it was. We don't know how much money, but we were told that it was money.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that? Are the crew even going to be allowed to use it if it's for a player? If they have their eyes set on a player who may or may not be above or below a certain threshold. We don't know.
A player below a certain threshold would be me.
And again,
because I'm not worth anything.
And today we were also seeing tweets. I saw Andrew Knight tweet out at something I thought was very interesting about Greg Berhalter had said that he wasn't sure if someone was going to be protected or not.
Kamara, wasn't it?
Was it Kamara?
I think it was Kamara.
I mean, I don't think they were sure if they had to.
They didn't know that they had to until after the fact, and they learned it about a week ago.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Yeah.
I mean, and if, like, Greg Berhalter's a smart guy.
He's
Anthony
very
Anthony Precourt
wise.
Is a smart guy. We have smart people working for the Columbus Crew, and yet
the rules change every third week. The rules change. I guarantee you that had a bigger name club signed Kai Kamara, he would not have to be on the tackle list.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not, because he'd be over a certain threshold.
But then again, we look at the case of the New York-New England series. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just backroom front office business deals. It's stuff that happens on the field. Mike Petke did not know that Brandon Wright Phillips was in yellow card peril.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Brandon Wright Phillips didn't know
that he was in
no one on the New York Red Bulls.
No one in the
staff,
organization.
Robin Fraser is their number one head assistant
their
coach.
Yeah, assistant.
Smart guy.
He's been around a while.
He's going to know.
Yeah.
If the rules aren't complete garbage, you know, these people are going to know these things. But, you know, and that changed. That completely changed that series.
Yeah.
So these are. Here we are.
It is
the day after MLS Cup.
It is what it is. Morgan Hughes, while we're waiting for the phone
calls.
Hi,
Morgan.
What's going on, Sam? Are we just having problems connecting?
No, you don't have anybody.
Okay, so can I, Morgan, do you have something you want to say?
Do you have a pressing question?
I have nothing to say.
All right, then.
Back to you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Morgan. So, guys, I'm going to need you to stop me if I'm going way off base here. But I was a little bit annoyed at the Twitters today.
Okay.
I was a little bit annoyed at the crew Twitters today, as every other day, at the people who are like, I'm never going to a crew game again because Josh Williams doesn't play for my team. Or, I'm never going to a crew game again because they're not going to protect my favorite player. And I realize there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek in that, but come on, guys. As a fan base, we have to support the team, the club.
The guys who are in the club.
Yeah, the organization. Right. I realize that we all have our favorite players, and don't get me wrong, I love Bernardo Lenore as much as the next person, because he's a hero on and off the field. But there's more to it than just Bernie's piercing brown eyes, or whatever it is that makes you love. If Bernardo Lenore is the reason that you love the Columbus Crew, you need to come to more games to begin with. I'm sorry, that's my thing.
I heard a rumor that we're
going to
field the team next year, even though Cristiano
Bernardo
won't be on the squad.
Cristiano
Bernardo
won't be on the squad next year?
That's what I heard. Back to you, Sam.
So that's my thing.
That's a good point, though. I think every time that there's a decision
just,
made.
It grates on me.
Yeah,
it just grates
you see
on
that.
Me. And people are like, well, blah, 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 blah. And he's a great player. And I don't know why they kept him and got rid of this guy. I don't know, man. Maybe what you should do is, if you're such a soccer all-star of awesomeness, apply for Greg Berhalter's job. Just go ahead and do it.
This
I hear
is a
that
good
they're accepting
me,
applications.
This is a good time for me to announce that Bell Sports 1 will be showing classic moments of crew boycott.
It's just a guy sitting at home going, nope, not doing it. Not going.
That's it, I'm done.
Tickets are $20. I don't give a crap. I'm not going.
But that happens every single time.
It does. Oh, and it's just it's annoying every single time.
We should talk about Josh Williams a little bit, too, I think.
Well, let's go to break, and we'll talk about Josh Williams just
we're
on the other
no
side
breaks.
Of the break.
Ain't no breaks.
Yeah, we are.
Ain't no breaks tonight.
I'm going to hit a button.
You got to go till 9. Or
ain't no breaks.
Because the lines are open.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to go to break so that we could get people to call in.
Do you have a question or comment?
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, you just can't hear anything because everybody's being loud. So that's what I'm saying. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back in 2 minutes, and then we're going to figure it out.
When Matt says 2, he means 6.4. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back in just a second.
Can't smoke a cigarette in 2 minutes.
Because it's my show. This is the Massive Report. Still doing open phones. Give us a call. Sam posted all the information. Or just show up at the bar and ask us a question. We're doing that until 9. So that's going on. We are going to do a couple more things in the Stu Tudor raffle. Remember, gofundme.com/lieutenant-stu-tudor. If you go on there before 9:30 and donate, we're going to throw your name into the raffle. We got some of the bigger items going on. First of all, we're going to do this. This is a 2014 team autograph poster. Right there, and Erica, would you like to do the honors on the camera? You're on camera right now, by the way.
So making the place look good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what do we got?
We've got 052-949.
949. That's seriously the one right before me.
No, what the heck is that?
Alex wins again.
Stanics are stacking this brush.
Yep. All right, now, this right here is a team autographed jersey.
Does it have everybody on it?
Team autographed replica jersey. I'm pretty sure it does. Looks like it does.
Does it have? It has everyone on it, including the guys who
retro.
Aren't coming back next year.
Also,
that are making you boycott
also
the
all
team.
Three construction workers signed this. So it's a rarity. It's a really rare jersey. So
yeah. So they're definitely not coming back next year. So it's a very very valuable jersey.
See? Yeah. All right. Let's draw one.
Yeah.
Here we go.
This one is 053-027.
053-027.
Stanek.
Not you.
All right. This might be
anybody
one of the.
On the internet?
Is anybody on the internet?
No, it's not.
It's you got to be present to win, right?
Unless you bought on the internet, you don't have to. You don't have to be present to win if you bought on the internet. So,
yeah. No. If you bought on the internet, you better be here. Like
we'll
right
figure
now.
This out.
Fire up the teleporter.
I'm going to hand this to Nate real quick, and let's go right back into this, shall we? More drawings to come.
So keep buying, keep doing stuff. Yeah, I did check my tickets, hon. Thanks, I'm on the radio. Anyway.
Aren't they great at
They
that?
Are. They're so fantastic.
No, it's okay, babe. I'm not doing anything. What was the question you just asked me?
Spicy calzone is a question. We got a winner.
Oh.
Oh, who do we? Oh, Irawan. Nice. Nice.
What is that? An extra? Hey, what is that? An extra large? It'll never fit. Her.
Yeah, Irawan. Irawan a dress.
Irawan a nightshirt.
Yeah. All right. So, Spicy Calzone had a question. Who's got it?
I got it.
Okay.
He's asking about thoughts on the rumored right back Egyptian target for Croatia. And then any striker targets out there in MLS or elsewhere that interest you.
All right.
So if you think about, you know, the ones that you have that are unprotected, if any of those are worth interest, or anybody else has it.
So the story came out, what was this, a couple days ago, that the Crew were looking at somebody in Egypt?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do we have the guy's name?
I'm sure if I went to MassiveReport.com, I could find it.
You, zig zig a hoo. So...
Jesus, my wife is loud.
Did you want to...
Anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Well, Sam knows a lot about...
Yeah, Sam knows a lot about him. Let's have Sam kind of tell us a little bit.
Hi, Sam.
Yeah, hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
Sam, call me buddy.
So here's the deal. Hold on. I gotta make sure this is right. Okay. So here's the deal. The club that he plays for, the kid is about to be 23. He can play right back. He can play center. He can play midfield, and he can play right wing. He has played for the Egyptian national team. He's played for the youth.
Did he play for Bob Bradley, or did he play for the youth team?
I don't think he played for Bob Bradley.
Okay,
he might have been like in consideration with Bob Bradley, but I don't think he played under him. Here's the thing. He is having a rift with the club president that he is in right now. The club president... of Zamalek FC is a complete and utter dick.
Oh, well, alright.
Sounds like you really feel.
Hated.
Sounds like some MLS guys would
say. He
that's
is
an
so
Egyptian
hated.
Term, it's D-I-Q.
Yes. Which he means is, revered leader.
He is so hated by so many, especially by the club fans, that he claims that they tried to assassinate him.
What?
Yes.
We think Merritt Paulson's got troubles with the Twitters.
Right? That's right. And he actually is on Twitter, and he's off. Like, he's very disparaging to everybody in the sports world, which in Egypt is all just in soccer. But he tries to rule the club with an iron fist.
And competitive sand throwing.
And he is also a lawyer. So he's a rude and he's an awful human being. Anyway, but the player is actually sympathetic to the fans' cause and sympathetic to the fans and how much they support the team, that he interacts a lot with the fans, and he supposedly had given an interview, an unapproved interview by the club to a newspaper. So the team president punished him by putting him on the trading block. Now,
wow.
Here's the thing. From what I understood from my contacts in Egypt that broke the story, is that he is basically being marketed by a player marketing agency. So the Crew did not actually go out and pursue him. The agency came over and approached the Crew and said, hey, we have this guy here. He's looking at these clubs, but we thought we want to offer him to MLS also to see if he fits any of your needs. Now, because he does play a right-back position, and he's 23, obviously we could use some depth in the right-back position.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But, yeah. So I'm still working to see if I can get any more information from over there, or see if we can try to milk any more information from over here to see if that does happen.
Yeah, if he wants to do an unapproved interview, we're great at those.
Yeah, we are.
All right. I'm trying to find the second question from Spicy Calzone here real quick.
This is the one about are there any strikers?
Any striker targets out there in MLS or anywhere else that interest you? Gentlemen,
well,
to the table. Nate Beckman looks like he's got somebody.
Couldn't hear him.
What? Any striker targets out there from MLS or otherwise that you'd be interested in for the Crew?
Someone we talked about earlier tonight was Bobby Wood,
mm-hmm.
who
is playing for Berhalter's old team. He recently played in the games against I think Colombia and Ireland both. I didn't think he did terribly well. I think he had a really great opportunity and kind of flubbed it, if I remember. But I haven't seen the list yet. I think more likely I would rather go with somebody who's kind of proven in MLS that could be kind of a
Chris?
Alan Gordon.
Alan Gordon?
I mean, are we just talking about the unprotected players, or are we talking about just in general?
Anybody. The question was anybody, but I mean, obviously we can go to, well, anywhere.
I don't even know who's, like, free agents and not under contract. And
just, well, if you could get anybody, who would you
if
get?
If I could get anybody?
Yes.
Thierry motherfucking Henry. You said anybody, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's
I heard MLS and anybody. Yeah. I will take Thierry Henry over Landy Cakes in his 20s. I will take Thierry Henry over anybody else in the league right now, including Frank, what's his name, that came from England. And
what's his name will do.
Yeah, Frank, what's his name? Yeah.
Frank Lampard.
Yeah, give me Thierry Henry all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
That's the name I immediately thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to spend money
on a guy from the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I would do it. I mean, I kind of get the feeling he wants to go.
I kind of get the feeling that he wants to stay in the league. And
really?
Yeah. I think because he's always said, I will not return to New York. He's never said, I will not return to MLS. Mm. He's never said, I will not return to soccer. He's always just said, I will not return to New York.
That's a good point.
I have a feeling that because he likes the league. He wouldn't have come here if he didn't.
I think he came. I think he loved New York City. I always got the impression that New York City was what he was so in love with, and he also kind of fancied himself as sort of an ambassador, but in a more humble way than Beckham would.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think he's gone. I think he plays one more year. It's PSG or Arsenal.
All due respect to the other million members of Crew 96 Nation, because I know that I'm sorry, Crew SC Nation, hashtag, because I know that I'm going to be alone on this, but between Mix 1-4 and Thierry Henry in Columbus, Ohio, if the money's the same, give me Thierry Henry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a different...
Well...
He's a different player.
Yeah.
No, but if we have to buy one big-name player, and we only have the money to spend on one big-name player...
Yeah.
We don't have Thierry Henry free money.
How do you know? We were going to throw $5 million at Michael Bradley. I'd throw 3.5 at Thierry Henry.
When
for 2 years?
When Andy Lockman came on, he pretty much confirmed that their mode for the most part is to not pay for the highest of the DPs.
But that's not.
And that's where
Thierry Henry at 3.5 is not. Thierry Henry, let's say Thierry Henry is $3 million, right? That's not the top. It's not the bottom. It's solidly in the middle. And it's a solid splash that says, yeah, we're here to play. And I would rather pay $3 million than... Because you're only going to sign one big-name guy.
Right. How many more years would he play?
Give him $3 million for two. Give him two. Let him be a Guillermo in his second year and just coach from the bench.
I'd love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Realistically.
I mean, we're just saying he's unprotected. He's available,
Yeah. In terms of strikers that they could get, that I would go after if I had the opportunity, my answer's changed in the last 72 hours after finding out that Terrence Boyd tore his ACL playing in Germany's second division.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big shame about that.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Wow, I really need to be a cool kid and watch more other league soccer.
Well, I actually found out from Twitter.
Being an Amerisnob is really becoming detrimental to my knowledge of the sport.
But he was playing last season in Austria for Rapid Vienna and went to Germany's second division, which is kind of, I guess, on par with the Austrian Bundesliga, for Red Bull Leipzig.
Questions.
Yeah, and tore his ACL. But preseason, prior to, like, during the summer, he was someone that I mentioned on Twitter a couple times, like, maybe we could go after him. Now who I would go after is, I'm a little biased here, but he's an Australian. He's named Nathan Burns, and he plays for Wellington Phoenix just because it would piss off Morgan Hughes.
Actually, one of the things I was thinking of, and it's funny that you brought up the Australian League, because Andy Keogh of Keogh.
Okay, do you guys watch Australian League games? Aren't they on at like midnight?
3:30
in the morning.
I have the internet.
But
yeah, 330,
he's a guy, he's actually a guy who's playing for Perth. He's an Irish national, and he plays for the Irish national team. He is, so far in 8 appearances with Perth this year, has 6 goals.
Yeah.
And played last year for Millwall, or played, I'm sorry, for the last 2 years, or 3 years, excuse me, before that. Played for Millwall, 17 goals in 70 appearances, plus a loan spell at Blackpool, where he had another 3 goals in 14 appearances at Blackpool. Has been all over England as far as that goes. Stops in Leeds, Wolverhampton, Scunthorpe, and a couple other things. But did play, does have 2 international goals for Ireland in 30 appearances. And I can't imagine he's going to cost that much.
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
And
guys playing in Australia.
And in all honesty, A-League is on the rise, but it's not what I would call the level of play is not at MLS level yet. It's much better run. and I do enjoy getting into Twitter conversations during these games with people who complain about the referees and saying, guys, you have no idea. I mean, for a league that is fledgling as it is, I mean, they're in their 10th season this year. So, yeah. But yeah, they're playing their 10th season now, and the refereeing is still not up to par. But MLS has just finished its, 18th?
Yeah.
19th. And
MLS is old enough to buy cigarettes now?
Yeah. Not alcohol for some reason. I never understood that about this country. But yeah, no. A-League is not quite up to standard. So what I'm saying is, I mean, it's up to its own standard, but not where MLS is. I think if you lured someone like Keo with that kind of money, you could get it.
Yeah, I think looking at some of these, I mean, obviously the Irish squad and a couple of the other, they're certainly have some quality players, but it's not like you're looking at somebody who's starting for Brazil, you know. So I think that looking at some of those, he's an example, obviously, of the thought process. But I'm sure with as smart as Mr. Precourt, Mr. Berhalter are, they have just a Rolodex at this point.
One of the players who I think might be gettable in the league is Stephen Lenhart.
Yeah.
And that's who I would like
they
to
see.
They
did protect him. San
He's
Jose
protected.
Did. He is
and
protected.
And so you would have to make a trade for him.
Right. Yeah.
But see, most of these players you're going to have to make trades for anyway.
Right. Well, pay out the nose.
So that's one of the players who I would go for.
I would love to see Dirty Lenny back in town.
Would Dirty Lenny... I like that, Dirty Lenny. Would Steven fit into Greg's system?
If Aaron Schoenfeld and Adam Bedell fit into it, then I would say Steven Lenhart. Look, you put him up top with Finley and Merrim from the sides and from the wings and Higuain playing behind him, that's sort of what he wanted.
Yeah.
He seemed to be playing with Schoenfeld and Bedell.
He really wanted Schoenfeld and Bedell to turn into Steven Leonard.
And I think Aaron Schoenfeld made a lot of
together.
Yeah, Schoenfeld made a lot of strides.
Yeah. Yep.
And, I think, look, that they left both he and Bedell unprotected. I don't think both of those guys are going to get picked. I doubt if either one of them get picked.
Never mind.
It depends, though.
No,
it depends on, like, the...
Aaron Schoenfeld isn't going anywhere because Alan Gordon is available.
True.
Yeah.
Alan Gordon probably costs a lot more money.
But if you're poaching guys from an expansion draft, you're not building your bench.
Maybe you are.
Or are you?
This is different in that... These teams already have, like, really expensive players on their roster.
Yeah.
They have, like, 5 or 7 players on roster. Some of them are millions and millions of dollars, a year.
Which Stanek brought up a good point earlier, to your point, that how nice would it be for New York City FC to have Frank Lampard and Alan Gordon playing beside one another? Because everybody's going to double-team Frank Lampard, and that leaves Alan Gordon wide open to, beat Alan Gordon. Yeah, but a guy like Frank, makes everybody better.
He's gonna capture your attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Schoenfeld's going anywhere because of Alan Gordon's available. And the other striker availability in this draft.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
We really don't know.
Matt,
we'll know a lot more
What's that?
On Wednesday.
I love some of that.
I'm willing to make some of my special coffee.
No, but I think that's a that's an option.
Look, Chris will be right back.
The Crew are actually in a pretty good spot. I think if Kai Kimura is healthy, which we have no reason to doubt that he is, and if he's if his mindset's in the right place, which it seems like it is, he seems all in on this. We have a really good striker right now.
We do.
Aaron Schoenfeld, again, I think he has he's not technically the greatest player. But he can do some things. He can as a late game sub, I can see him coming on and being somebody who, you know, nicks 5 or 6 goals next year. What's wrong with that? I mean, that's what Alan Gordon is for the LA Galaxy this year. We could do that. We could have a player like that. And look, another thing I just noticed, by the way, and it's not a striker, but the Crew picked up a player, Mohamed Saeed.
Yes.
From Sweden.
Yep.
MLS does not have him on either the protected list or the unprotected list.
He's not
and
on.
And the reason is...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No. Well, the reason is because he was signed... Right, he's not on the... He's not actually on the team right now.
Yeah. But so, Kai Kimura is?
But Kai Kimura is.
Because of allocation.
So, when we look at the roster, if you're looking at, say, like the protected list, the unprotected list, and you're saying, okay, these are who the Crew have for next year, you don't yet remember that we have this player, a midfielder, who's, how old is he, 24?
He's pretty young.
I thought he was 23. But in that range.
But he's also from, again, one of the Scandinavian leagues.
Yep.
And so, what I would say is, if you're looking for possible forwards to come in yet, it seems like the Crew and Greg Berhalter are like honed in like a laser on Norway, Sweden, Denmark, maybe, who knows? I mean, that's where they're going.
Yeah.
So I would go check through there. I mean, maybe you'll find somebody who
earlier this season I looked at who was leading the Norwegian league in goals, and it's this Icelandic guy.
Iceland.
He is just he was destroying it. He had a reasonable salary, and I threw out something on Twitter about it. And sure enough, somebody from Norway, a fan of where Steve came from, Steve Clark, his club, said, "You guys can't afford him." And went in, and it turns out, I mean, he was like a $3 million transfer or something like that. But
oof.
We also have Ben Swanson on the team coming in, but
well, he
remains to be seen
young.
If he's going to play next year or if he's going to stay in school.
The thing about Ben Swanson is he is very young, and he's not very big.
Is he? He's like 17, right?
Yeah.
16, something like that?
No, he was going to Wake Forest.
Oh, okay. So he's like 19 then.
I don't know if he's 18 or 19. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But he was on his way to college. And look, he's got to learn how to play.
Yeah.
I mean, we make fun of MLS in a lot of ways, level of play. But look, MLS is a good league.
Yeah.
It's a league for strong men. Mm-hmm. It's a league for professional men.
Yeah.
It's not a league for, you know, within 3-4 years, I'm going to be a man. He's not a man yet, right? And I don't mean that to cut on him, because I think he's a good kid and he's going to be, you know, he has a lot of potential. But like you see, like Will Trapp's growth, the growing pains that he's gone through.
Yeah.
And he's getting bigger, he's getting stronger, he's getting more athletic. In just the last 2 years, you can see it.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get kicked, you're going to get beat up. You know, it's not easy. Like I know. But
Swanson was 17 in October, so
okay,
all right.
He's but at most 18.
Yeah, another player though. You mentioned Iceland, and the first player I thought of was Aaron Johansson. Look, that would be a huge coup if the Crew were to be able to go and make some sort of deal. Yeah, MLS were supposed to make sort of deal with Odd Zed, and he would come to MLS.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a huge deal if the Crew got him. It'd be a, look, he's on the national team radar. Obviously, he was the player that Klinsmann brought in to fill in for Jozy Altidore in that first game when he pulled his hamstring.
Yeah.
So Jurgen Klinsmann's probably going to be like, look, keep playing in Europe. Yeah. It's but you know,
yeah.
It's AZ, but it's still you're playing in a against better competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still, it's
fair.
Somebody who's out there, and I would not. I would like that.
Yeah.
As a crew fan, I would like that.
All right, reminder to everybody real quick. We have 15 more minutes of open phones. Anybody who wants to get on the show, or anybody in the room who has a question.
They don't have questions?
Nobody does?
They don't love us.
Not even Ryan Gear?
I think Morgan Hughes had a question on Twitter.
Oh, did he have a question on Twitter?
Or eight.
He had like a dozen of them.
Oh, you see, he didn't hashtag it, so I didn't.
One of them was kind of funny. The rest were just...
You know, one of the things we haven't really talked about is like a recap of the crew season this year.
Yeah.
And I think this was one of those seasons that we're going to remember as like a pivot point.
After Cards.
Are we going to talk about that after Cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also didn't talk about MLS Cup yet.
Yeah, we should
either,
talk about.
Well, let's talk about MLS. Let's talk about MLS Cup. Apparently, my girlfriend has a question. It's who got a Steve Clark jersey, and that's her.
Yeah. I love that we got an hour into the show a day after MLS Cup, and we're just now starting to talk about the game.
There's more important crew news.
Well, I know it's just the nature of the other news. It's,
I have MLS Cup ish, crew ish, crossover news.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you Robbie Rogers?
Yeah,
sorry,
Robbie Rogers, second MLS Cup.
Yeah, second cup. I've been like trying to get stat nerds out there to answer this question, this trivia question. But like, so Frankie Hayduk won two MLS Cups with different teams in the same venue.
Right? Yes,
Home Depot Center. Mm-hmm. One with us, one with Galaxy. Robbie Rogers is the same thing.
Wow.
Has anyone else done that other than those two players? Because you figure there's. Not that many players who've actually won MLS Cups with two different,
I wonder
two
if
different
Landon
clubs
Donovan
to begin
alone
with,
in
right.
the same out of the same venue.
When Landon Donovan played for San Jose, did they?
Right. Well, didn't they win San Jose here?
They won here.
Yeah, in
but San Jose won two of them.
Did they?
Yep. Hang okay. on. I'm going to the internet.
Not
to
counting
the
Wikipedia Houston thing.
In the meantime, I was actually asked
a really good question.
While Matt's looking that up, I was asked a question, USA or Australia out of the group of death in Women's World Cup 2015.
Oh, that happened too.
Yeah.
Yes, by the way, screw you, FIFA. Thanks a freaking lot.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Because, yeah, I mean, you know, we look at Australia, their men's team is... I won't say good or bad, mediocre. I mean, they had a terrible World Cup this year, only because they happened to be drawn in a group with Spain, the Netherlands, and Chile, three of the best teams in the world, and two of the finalists from the previous tournament, by the way. But the women's team is, I think, I want to say ranked like 12th in the world. They're very, very high, and they don't have a great record against the U.S. I do expect the U.S. to win. Obviously, the U.S. is number one in the world in the women's game. From my understanding, it's the top two teams plus the four best third place out of the six groups
right.
that advance. So why not both?
They get all three.
I will actively root for a tie when they do play each other because I can't split them. It's like if the crew played Sydney FC in the international friendly, which by the way we should make happen, because I would totally go. I'd root for a tie, but I'd go.
Landon Donovan has won MLS Cups with the LA Galaxy and the San Jose Earthquakes, both at the Home Depot Center.
Yeah. Okay,
that's the only player I could think of.
Landon Donovan, because the 2003 MLS Cup was at the Home Depot Center at 3:30 in the afternoon on November 23rd of 2003.
I thought it was at 3:30. Pacific or Eastern? Because I thought, yeah.
I don't know, but Michelle Branch performed her hit single Breathe at halftime.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happened.
Remember when Michelle Branch was a thing?
Yeah. No, I don't.
No.
Nope. I really don't.
I do.
That was a long time ago.
No, but I'm really looking forward to the Women's World Cup, even though it's being played on turf in Canada.
You going to go?
U.S. plays in Winnipeg twice.
I've never been to Winnipeg.
Ryan Gear and I were talking about taking the old car up to Winnipeg.
Wow.
And
it's seven. I thought I told somebody that I worked with that it was just a few hours north of Minneapolis. Like, okay, fly into Minneapolis. That's a hub. Easy to get there on Northwest or whatever, Delta, I guess.
it's 7 hours north.
It's not a hop, skip, and a short trip.
So
yeah.
Once you get past the Mississippi River, the distances start to get bigger.
Every
mile is
all of the states and the provinces too. Because I have been to Winnipeg. Yeah. I don't. What time of year are they playing? Now? Obviously, it's going to be summer.
It's going to be spring. Summer.
Spring.
It can be warm.
So yeah, June. Yeah. No, it's still going to be deathly cold in Winnipeg. I guarantee it. Winnipeg is a place that I call God's country. Because as soon as you get off the bus, you're like, God, how can anybody live here? It is so
they went there
damn cold.
In the office. That's like the thing I remember the most about Winnipeg is Michael Scott and someone else. Now, Andy. What's his name? What do they call him? The guy who called him Tuna.
Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy.
And I think they went to Winnipeg together. Andy thought it was like the coolest thing. It was a great episode. But...
Cool story,
bro.
No
problem.
Plus the Jets
get
play
that.
There.
But in Toronto, so
also the guess who sucked. The Jets were lousy anyway.
So
and the Blue Bombers.
I was looking at the host cities, and there's six host cities for Women's World Cup.
There's only six
it's
cities
in Canada.
So.
You would think, but not. But one of them is not Toronto.
Well, yeah, you know why?
Because of the Pan American Games.
The Pan Am Games are in Toronto at the same time.
Planning. What the heck?
Okay, so
the World Cup, and they're going to say, "Yeah, no, I'm going to pass."
Okay, so
we'll
what
get you
are,
next
what
time
are
around.
The six host cities? We know that Winnipeg is one. Vancouver's hosting the final.
Kalumps, yeah.
Moncton,
yeah,
which is like
Moncton, New Brunswick,
the Maritimes, yeah,
yeah.
Woo,
way
yeah.
out east.
Yeah, yeah. Is Moose Jaw in there?
I want to say
I like Yellowknife.
Ottawa.
I like Medicine Hat myself. I'm a Medicine Hat kind of guy.
I think Ottawa and Edmonton.
It is 18 hours and 55 minutes by car from Columbus to Winnipeg. Oh.
Really,
I'm
going
to spend 18 hours and 55 minutes in a car with Ryan Gear one way.
In a different
yeah, it's going to be one way because you're not making it back from that trip.
Really two go one returns.
I was watching wrestling.
I think one of the cool things too about the World Cup draw that we got, we're playing against. Sweden.
Yeah.
Who
and
Pia Sundhage is now the manager
right.
for it.
There's no way we win that game.
I don't think.
We may be tied, but...
But the coach who played for... The coach who replaced her with us was Tom Cermani, who was the manager for Australia. He basically helped build the Australian women's national team.
The Matildas, as they're called, by the way.
To be what they are now.
I knew I'd get a look from Chris. I just didn't know what look it would be. The Matildas, yes.
We do.
It's a thing.
But then he was let go. Some would say unceremoniously.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of... There's sort of these backstories to
Is he American,
No,
Tom?
He's from Australia. From Australia, and I think he has Scottish... background.
Okay.
Scottish roots.
Scottish roots.
You got to feed your Scottish roots.
All right, real quick. Yes. Feed your roots.
He knows how to feed his Women's World Cup team.
All right, so we have two more drawings to do. A little bit more time to get in on the drawing.
Swear we'll probably talk about MLS Cup at some point.
We will at some point. GoFundMe.com/
next time.
Lieutenant-Stu-Tudor. Right, so. Team sign ball right here. Who's going to get this? Not the guy who's standing outside who wanted to steal it from me, apparently.
053-065. This is really close to my number.
Boom. There it is.
What do we got?
Oh, we got it.
Right here.
Okay.
This one's good.
No! There we go. And now we have Michael Parkhurst autographed jersey. Yeah, Michael Parkhurst autographed jersey.
Is it too late for me to just pay cash for this?
Yeah. How much cash you got?
How much you want?
All right. And the number is...
The number is...
Before you read it. Let me see how much cash I have.
Let me go find it.
Buy 50 tickets.
Let me go find a cash machine.
Just, like, have, like, a credit card.
There's an ATM here at Hendox, for the record.
Yeah, somebody invent that.
All right, go.
Okay, 052946.
Oh,
my God.
This is what happens when he comes in at the beginning and buys $20 worth of tickets.
This is an unreal.
Thank you.
This is legitimate
donation. Yeah.
This is totally random.
No.
Yeah, you know what?
You win, you're out.
You know, I have to say, Alex, I kind of liked it more when you were a panelist.
Wow. Isn't there a rule, like, employees and their families are massive for
players? Well, he's not technically an employee. He's a guest. So
and we all bought tickets anyway, so.
Well, that's true.
You better make him official so he quits winning.
Morgan Hughes is upset. Morgan Hughes. Just look. Morgan Hughes is doing his best grumpy cat right now.
Morgan Hughes. Oh, he's so mad.
Morgan Hughes is a factory of sadness right now.
Go back to your prison colony, Greg.
So, yeah, Women's World Cup.
Do you know what would make you feel better, Morgan? Getting me another ginger ale.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah,
I guess you're getting your own ginger ale, Justin.
All right, so we got 5 more minutes if anybody has any questions.
Nigeria is the other team the U.S. is playing in the Women's World Cup, by the way.
Yeah. Nigeria has a team?
Nigeria has a team, yes.
Okay, cool. The yes. What?
The men's team.
The Super Hens, maybe? I don't
know. Super Hens?
Nigeria?
Wow.
Super Eagles.
Yeah, so that's the men's team. The Super
Men's team earned the name Super Eagles, I think, because they won the.
The hen is just a generic.
They won the Olympics in 1996.
Right.
Super Bird?
Yeah, Super Bird.
I can't remember.
There you go, Super Bird.
Super Bird!
Yeah, they come out to Fu Larry Manchu
Bird.
All the time.
The Larry Birds.
So, we have a question from the online viewership, yep. And it was, who cares about Women's World Cup?
Yeah.
I do.
Yes.
I guess
everyone who has a microphone right now, which is not you.
Legitimately, like 5 people around this table. Who
yes. So 5
do.
For 5.
Yeah.
Five
who,
massive
who was
report.
Who was that question from? Was it from no, Morgan?
From who?
From Morgan?
No. An anonymous contributor.
Long time tweeter, first time. What?
Yes. But yeah. 5 Helens agree. Women's World Cup will matter.
I think it matters.
Maybe we should read one of Morgan's questions because he's so dejected right
now. I think we should, really, just to perk Morgan's spirits up. I'm going to go ahead and read one of them. How many allocation monies would it take to send Greg Benson back to his prison colony hometown of New Zealand City? Not very many.
Not very many, but the price just went up. And that's why you haven't won anything tonight.
Okay,
is that Australian dollars?
No, allocation monies.
Oh, allocation.
Allocation. How many
allocation monies?
Australian allocation monies from New Zealand City.
What's another one?
This is the best one. This is for you, Justin.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Phil Goldfarb being left unprotected in the expansion draft?
Outrageous. Outrageous. I noticed Erica Kress was here earlier. Maybe we should ask. Definitely, we need to hold on to Phil Goldfarb. I think we should protest the expansion. Wouldn't that be great if, like, during the conference call or whatever they have tomorrow, Don Garber is like, "Well, this is interesting."
Yeah. Well, somebody
it looks like New York City FC has picked up Phil Goldfarb. Columbus Screw. Yeah.
Columbus Screw.
The Columbus Screw.
The Columbus Screw.
In
the captain of the Columbus Screw, Phil Goldfarb.
Yeah, Phil G. Goldfarb.
In the SB Nation article, so SB Nation did a really cool thing, by the way. So, and Patrick, I think Patrick Murphy, maybe Patrick Murphy and Patrick Gilden submitted our protected list last week. And so all the teams and all the affiliates submitted their protected list and their available list. And then the new SB Nation group from Orlando and from New York FC, whatever, basically looked at those lists and they did a mock draft.
Yeah.
So they worked it all the way through. And one of the groups, I think it was Orlando, said they almost picked Landon Donovan's rights in one of their picks.
It would not be a bad
so,
no.
So kind of like what you were talking about Thierry Henry, it kind of made me think about that. People who claim they're going to retire or even go to another, go out of league, can those rights be claimed as a slot?
Yeah, they can.
I'm sure you could. Don Garber would let you draft Thierry Henry's rights.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's true.
Landon Donovan's coming back.
I got one question.
He's going to spend a year in Cambodia this time, and then he'll come back for 2016.
I got one question from Morgan Hughes that I want to cover. This one says, can we get a large monocle for Crew Cat to wear during midweek games and call him Crew Cat Fancy? I'm not done, because I just wanted to read this for the hashtag, which is hashtag hi-yo! There's a lot of O's on the air.
One other Morgan question before we go to break, come back and actually talk about the MLS Cup. This is another question from Morgan. Is it true that if you play the White Album backwards, you can hear Don Garber's hair replacement surgery recording?
He's like one of those rare guys that gets more hair after losing it. Like him,
Jerry LeBron James.
Spicy Calzone is asking, where is Ekpo?
Last time I heard Ekpo.
Where's Ekpo?
Yeah, he was in Norway the last time I heard.
Yep.
Mentioning Crew Cat, it is worthwhile thinking about what kind of hat would be for the new hat for Crew Cat. If he comes back. I think he will.
Crew Cat was left unprotected, for the record.
Also unprotected.
Crew Cat has to come back.
Crew Cat was left unprotected.
Unprotected, but I think he was neutered. So I think
he was rescued by a he was rescued by a no kill shelter.
This is
yeah, no, this is the thing. We have Erica Kress from the Columbus Crew here. And she needs to just come over so you can at least answer this question. We just have one question for you. That's it. You don't even have to answer it on the air.
She's gonna run.
Two questions. First of all, was Crew Cat protected in the expansion draft? And second of all, can we have your assurance right now that while he will have a different hat, Crew Cat will be back?
She's like, what?
No,
running away.
The key is to look at Erica like very seriously. We're just like,
that's not a no.
I love that on the questions.
Who are the votes here?
What's that? Oh, if Crew Cat doesn't come back, we're rioting. I really don't. Okay, good.
Hey. Follow-up question for Erica. Who in the hell do you think you are?
I love that during those questions, Erica just stood there with a huge smile on her face and didn't say anything. My theory is Erica is Crew Cat.
Oh, no. I've seen him in the same list.
Yeah.
Morgan just trying to put his fist in his mouth.
At least on the weekends.
Yeah, that's
or weekdays.
Fair.
I don't know.
All right, we're going to go to break.
I'm just asking questions.
We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. More Crew Cat conspiracy theories. Maybe we'll do another Sorcerer Peepa shot right here. Your human mind cannot comprehend.
We need to get a question from Sorcerer Peepa.
Sorcerer Peepa needs to tweet us.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. We'll come back and wrap this thing up. It's the Massive Report. There's a birthday party at the home of Arthur Gray. It'll be the perfect ending of a birthday day. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop. At the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts fall. There's a happy feeling, nothing in the...
Of Cards Against Insanity for 2014. Congratulations for making it this far. As promised, instead of giving out new cards this week, I have tallied up the winners, losers, and also rands, and I will be awarding the most carded of 2014. To that end, I've spent the week going back over the year and recapping this segment, cringing at the sound of my own voice, but also laughing because I'm hilarious and sexy. Opinions are mine, and especially that last one, not those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC. A few statistics first, because I know you're all fascinated by numbers. Counting tonight and going back to the first edition on June 5th, we racked up 26 episodes of Cards Against Insanity, and in that time, dished out 204 cards to a bevy of teams, associations, corporations, and individuals. I think that deserves a round of applause. Don't you think, Sam? There we go. That's more like it. Going to the pocket that often for 204 cards is hell on your wrists, folks. Change hands every so often, as my dad told me once. Also, in among the 65 different people carded this year who weren't fans, managers, or commissioners were 4 referees and 2 mascots. Both of those stats disappoint me. I was really hoping it would be more in both columns. So I'm going to give out 4 separate awards here. First, we will be doing the most carded team category. This only applies to soccer teams. Although, for what it's worth, 13 cards were issued to non-soccer teams. Congratulations to the University of Florida and to the Washington NFL team and your racist name as recipients of multiple cards. In the teams but not soccer ones category, you get the first honorable mentions of the night. So in third place, with 3 yellow cards on the season, Columbus Crew SC. Highlights of your year include sending the players golfing in the middle of a playoff chase and putting Spanish and Portuguese flags out on the field to represent Latin America. Way to go, guys. In second place, Arsenal. You get a lot of your players featured on this segment this year, but as a club, you have exemplified what it means to be that club that represents all of us just that one little bit. If you think of Arsene Wenger as that crazy old uncle that you dread Thanksgiving dinner with, because every time he opens his mouth, something insane comes out. But the gilded red card goes to Manchester United. Yes, they have got a manager with foot and mouth disease, too. Well done, guys. They have got a manager with foot-and-mouth disease, too, but between your Twitter department, your team shop running out of custom letters, and a multitude of other infractions, you are my most carded team this year. You might not win anything else before the summer, but you got this going for you, which is nice. Honorable mentions also to the USA and Costa Rica with two yellows each. They were the most carded national teams of the year. Moving on to the most carded individual of 2014. This is open to all players, referees, media personalities, and other individuals who don't directly speak for a league or association. I counted those guys in other categories. Third place goes to the Hendox promotional material designers. Every single time I walk past these posters or pick up a flyer here at the home of the Massive Report, I can't quit chuckling. Spellcheck is your friend, guys. Second place is a three-way tie between Eden Hazard, Lucas Podolski, and Cristiano Ronaldo. But of those three, I'm making Ronaldo number 2A because all of the cards he earned this year were to do with his damn underwear line. But the winner, it's a Mario! Yes, Super Mario Balotelli. Congratulations. Who has found himself in hot water with the FA for the card he earned last week, which pushed him into the number one spot. Still don't know what you were thinking on that one, Mario. Jumped into one too many bricks in your lifetime. Next up, it is the most carded association of 2014. You've probably already got a good idea in your head of who you got for this one. Am I right? I'm right. Third place to the Italian Football Association, who earned cards this year for appointing a racist as its new chairman and for not having enough teams in its second division a week before the season was due to play. Also, in the time that it took to prepare this segment, you've had two more elections. Second place is a tie between FIFA and the NFL. The NFL for covering up its domestic violence epidemic and FIFA for covering up absolutely everything that they can. But the winner, yeah, it's MLS. Moving on. Before I announce the final category, congratulations to Nike for being the most carded company of 2014 and to ESPN and Fox for tying with three cards each for the honor of most carded media outlet. I guess no applause for them. Okay, good. ESPN and Fox, I can't wait to see how many more you guys pick up next year when the MLS deal kicks in, waiting with bated breath. So the final award goes to the most carded fans of 2014. This award honors fans who, through violence, ill-timed chants, or just generally being insufferable jackwads on social media, have already taken their love for their team and turned it into an abstract art form. Third place is a three-way tie between fans of NASCAR, who ignore basic concepts like don't get drunk and climb fences that separate you from 3,500-pound hunks of metal moving at 200 miles an hour. San Francisco Giants fans who earned notoriety for burning down their city when their team won yet again. And Brazilian fans who look at San Francisco, scoff, and remind us all they did at first. Second place, to England fans, doing their best to cut ties with their hooligan roots. Doing their best to cut ties to their hooligan roots by earning yellow cards for things like moaning about the service in private suites and tossing paper airplanes. Not saying you've gone soft, England, but yeah, you went soft. But congratulations to my fellow Columbus Crew fans with five yellows and three reds on the season. Not only are you the runaway winners of this award, but you're also the most carded of anyone, period. And most of these cards were to do with whatever Crew fans found to grumble about this year. Whether it was Greg Berhalter doing the winless streak of the summer, or those who hated the name change or hashtag change to CrewSC, everyone who doesn't seem to get when I'm joking and when I'm not. If it was there to be bitched about in Crewville, you were on top of it. And you know what? I love you for that. Because that leads me to my final rant of the year. Sam Keane once wrote, "We come to love not by finding a perfect person, but by learning to see an imperfect person perfectly." That, to me, doesn't mean glossing over the imperfections in someone or something that you love, or pretending that those things don't exist. It's an acknowledgement of the imperfect and an understanding that these things may be present, but they don't define what you love. And to point them out doesn't mean that you don't love them. It means you love them even more because you're willing to see them, flaws and all, and still love them anyway. I came under fire last week because of my stance on various social issues. Most of you who know me, who follow me on social media, or who listen to me throughout the year know that I'm not afraid to get political. I don't always just talk about sports, even though I work for a sports podcast, but maybe that's where the problem lies with our perception on both sides of the argument. Some people would rather I just talk about sports and shut up about everything else. Others who do take an interest in politics and social issues have no time for sports, and many see them as insignificant games played by simple-minded people. You're both wrong. Sports and society have been intertwined for the first time. One anthropoid said to another, "I bet I can make it to that tree faster than you." The advancement of our society as a human race, no pun intended, and the breaking down of cultural barriers has been linked to sports for as long as history has been recorded. The ancient Olympic Games, first held roughly 900 years BC, were to honor the gods, but were also celebrations of competition and of humanity. We look at issues in our society today, and we can go back to several points in our history, both recent and further, where sports played a defining role. Jackie Robinson and Rosa Parks are equally part of the cultural lexicon. When it comes to breaking down the color barrier, you can go back to Moses Fleetwood Walker, who played baseball in Toledo in 1884. Willie O'Ree, the first black NHL player. Wendell Scott, the first black NASCAR driver. These events and these people all predate Hands Up, Don't Shoot by over half a century. Alia Atkinson of Jamaica just became the first black woman to win a world swimming title. The barriers keep falling. Gender equality a new thing? We're all talking about Monet Davis, the Philadelphia teen who pitched lights out in this summer's Little League World Series. Does the name Manon Raume ring a bell to anyone? She became the first woman to suit up for an NHL team when she played two preseason games for the Tampa Bay Lightning in 1992. 16 years previous, in 1976, Janet Guthrie raced in the World 600, cracking the good old boy world in NASCAR. She became the first woman to qualify for the Indy 500 the following year. Danica Patrick is treated as a pioneer by many, but she's walking on a path already laid by those who came before her. Openly gay athletes? The cultural flap over Michael Sam becoming the first openly gay player drafted by an NFL team sent Middle America into a tailspin. Robbie Rogers literally wrote the book on it. But in 1995, an Australian rugby league player named Ian Roberts became the first rugby player in the world and one of the first professional athletes in the world to come out as gay. In that same year, Olympic diver Greg Louganis announced in an interview with Oprah Winfrey that not only was he gay, but he was HIV positive. On that topic, we can go back to Magic Johnson's 1991 announcement that he was HIV positive, which not only broke down the stigma that HIV was a quote-unquote gay disease, but has also since proved that you can have disease and still lead a long and fulfilling life. Also, welcome to MLS, by the way. Unfortunately, that story has a sadder chapter a few years before Magic's announcement. Tim Richmond, a NASCAR driver from Ashland, Ohio, not 90 minutes from here, died of an HIV-related illness in 1989 after battling the disease for over 2 years. The aftermath of NASCAR's treatment of Richmond during that time started many a conversation that leads us to where we are now. And for all the complaining we do about what might be wrong with our team, our league, our city, our state, our country, our family, or within ourselves, we're starting a conversation. And conversations lead to action, and action leads to improvement. It leads to something better that we can look forward to every time we get out of bed in the morning, and to something even better that we can leave behind for the next generation of fans that come through. I've done my talking for the year, but the conversation's just begun. Don't ever be afraid to speak up, stand up, speak your mind, and show your love, because we're only silent when we don't care. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregGulator614. Facebook is That One Guy Greg, and if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. Have a happy holidays and play on. But remember, I'm watching you.
And we're back. There's some lady talking in the background there. I was kind of confused for a second.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, Morgan sleeps tonight.
So we're back. Yeah.
While we're on kind of a serious note.
Okay.
We, obviously here, and everyone in the Columbus crew and MLS and the supporters group community want to give our deepest, most heartfelt condolences to... the Screaming Eagles member who lost his entire family today, in a plane crash.
Oh,
One of the guys who... This guy is a member of the Screaming Eagles, so yeah, he's a DC fan, but he's still human. He took one of his kids out for a day in the town, and while he was out, a jet plane literally crashed into his house, killed his wife and his other two kids.
And that's absolutely terrible.
Oh, jeez.
And we, you know, obviously send our best wishes and condolences to him and everyone involved in the family and the Screaming Eagles community as well. Because we all know that supporters groups are one big happy family. And when something like this happens to one, it happens to all of us.
Yeah,
so definitely thoughts and prayers are with all those families tonight.
Yeah,
absolutely. I couldn't even imagine. That's, really horrible. And, thoughts and wishes with him and his entire family, in his Screaming Eagles family as well.
Absolutely.
So
on that note,
yes.
Can I do this, or do you want me to wait for that? Do you want to talk about MLS Cup first?
Do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Let's
do it right
let's
now.
Let's lighten the mood a little bit.
Come on, do it. Do it.
Can somebody hold this up for the camera?
Do it.
Yes.
So Major League Soccer, the official Major League Soccer, produced that thing that they call a shirt, which is officially a shirt with some official MLS logos on it.
I can confirm. Source.
Yes.
I've seen it.
It has MLS logos on it. And if you can see at the top, it says Major League Soccer Originals, indicating that all the logos on the shirt are originals. And they are. All of the logos on the shirt are originals of the clubs.
They're
that
not
they
all Major League Soccer originals.
The problem
though.
Is that they're not all Major League Soccer originals. And there are a couple of Major League Soccer teams not on the shirt. For example, the Chicago Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Not represented on the shirt.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. You know who else isn't on that shirt?
Who's
the
that?
Original Major League Soccer team. Now, you can put it down if you want to, Matt.
Wait a minute, Chris. Are you saying that the original Major League Soccer franchise is not represented on the MLS Originals t-shirt?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
So, we all discovered this, about a month ago, Morgan?
Yeah.
And I had a thing that I was going to say, like I do. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It doesn't matter.
There are three different 96 to 2002 Metro Stars logos.
There are seven Seattle Sounders logos on that shirt.
Yeah.
There are seven.
Has Seattle played seven seasons yet?
No, they haven't. Matt, they've been playing since 1974.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It was just them in Portland playing in Major League Soccer against each other.
Imagine
soccer in 1973.
Yeah,
that's true. Imagine what soccer in America was like in the 1800s when it was just the San Jose Earthquakes.
Wait, the
how
Super
boring
Liga,
was
the Super Liga
there.
Logo.
There are logos on that shirt that says MLS Originals for teams that have not played a game in the league and are not even existing.
Two of them.
There
the
are
Vancouver
two,
86ers.
There are two logos on that shirt for the second Los Angeles soccer club that's yet to be, was it LAFC?
Yeah.
Yet to be named.
Who can be sure?
The working title.
There are two logos. Yeah. There's not one Columbus Crew logo on there.
What the hell is a Galaxy Rios?
It's the Galaxy 2 team. It's their, B team.
What?
Yeah. It's the LA Galaxy B team.
The question stands.
Is on there. But the Columbus Crew, Chicago Fire, Philadelphia Union.
Union.
Not on there.
Huh.
So the excuse that was given by the league propaganda machine is that shirt was created to maintain copyright ownership for those trademarks and word marks.
Oh, go away.
Again, I call malarkey, which is slang for bullshit.
Because the Revs are on there.
Because the Revs are on there. The current
The current Revs logo is on there, and nobody wants to claim the New England Revolution.
The copyright lawyers, forgot that the Revs have a logo.
The current Toronto FC logo is on there. There are logos on that shirt that are still in use by the Portland Timbers, by the San Jose Earthquakes, by the Seattle Sounders, by the Los Angeles Galaxy.
Not to mention, pointing out the elephant in the room here, that you can maintain copyright on something without needing to put it on a damn shirt.
And sell it for $25 on your freaking website.
Right.
I don't know. Can you, though?
I mean, I know a little about copyright law.
I mean, I'd nowhere like to get Steve O'Brien
does the, nowhere does the word T-shirt come into needing to renew a copyright.
Well, no, because I've been told that the reason they produce the same thing in a poster form
made by Topps,
right.
Which I ordered.
I went on that website and I 27 minutes. It was like the thing was spinning. It's
oh, really?
Don't worry, we're processing your order.
No. It knows that you got a shirt, so you can't have a poster.
But so I heard the reason that they produce both the shirt and the poster was that you have to produce the thing that you're claiming. Oh, I want to make future posters.
Whatever.
So I have to produce it.
I'm still calling.
First of all, I've never seen the creepy traffic cone Los Angeles Galaxy logo. I don't think that's a real thing.
No, that's
the galaxy. That's the it's supposed to be a galaxy.
It's a bugle.
It's the salted snack, the Bugle.
It was their very first logo.
Two of them, you put them on the end.
It was what they did with their secondary logo. They had, you know how like on the Blue Jackets logo, for instance, shirts, for instance, they have the stinger patch?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that was.
Okay. And then the other thing is I do love the fact that they think they need to preserve the logo for Crazy Taxi from the Dreamcast.
Right, right.
I just want to show that to everybody. That is the cover of the video game Crazy Taxi.
Not to mention their own logo.
Yes.
The Major League Soccer logo is on the shirt. The Superliga logo is on the shirt. When are they ever going to bring Superliga?
Well, actually, I was planning on starting my own Superliga next year, so that has completely foiled me.
Damn it.
I know.
I love that the last Tampa Bay Mutiny logo was actually like the skeleton of a bat. Like the year that they died was a dead bat.
It's just another example of Major League Soccer horseshit.
Bat shit, technically.
Don Garber shit.
You know how much extra allocation money I just gave to Major League Soccer for buying that?
Is this the last segment, Sam?
Sam, is this the last segment? All right, good. This is my last segment.
Because I bought that shirt.
So who's playing this week?
Somebody can't draft Aurelius Collin.
Right.
Or no, he's been traded as
Aurelian Collin.
Aurelius. Grant Thurman.
It's actually Aurelius.
Yes.
Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius.
It's French. You and
Marcus Aurelius Collin.
Go back to your prison colony, Greg.
We have two more things that we're going to be raffling off right now. Speaking, and these things actually, unlike the MLS original shirts, have Columbus Crew logos on them.
Hey,
so that's pretty cool.
So it's worth less than $25.
This is a boot breast cancer pink ball that's signed by the entire team. This is
it's got remnants of the pink netting on it.
It does. It does.
Somebody scored.
Matt, you are so bad at this.
I am really bad at this.
Yeah, where's your Vanna White skill?
This is a team signed second jersey. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. So let's go ahead and do a drawing for this.
We're doing one last website check.
We're checking it right now.
While we're waiting, here's an announcement from the future. Congratulations to Alex Stanek for winning everything.
No. The announcement from the future is that. No, I'm not.
All right, we're doing one last website check to make sure that we've got all this, and then we'll go ahead and give this away.
We're good. Somebody check the internet. Can we get an internet?
All right, we are good.
Only a few minutes left to get on America Online and put your votes in.
All right, we're going to do the pink match ball first.
Oh, is that my job?
Yes, that's your job. Go ahead and grab one.
All right, so the number is 973-412. Psych.
0-5-3-0-6-8. 0-6-8. Where's
Alex?
Whoever went before me probably won. Right there. Yeah, winner.
Brilliant.
All right, somebody want to run that back?
A girl in the men's bathroom just won a ball.
That happens all the time at Hendox.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's...
All right, and this is the...
I'm not unpacking that.
This is the team autographed jersey.
The team autographed white Barbasol jersey. That white is officially Barbasol. A retro vintage
that I have
jersey.
Not spilled coffee on.
The Clash jersey, as it's called in some countries.
The number is 053-069.
069.
You said freaking person.
You just picked 68.
That's 60.
It's completely random. You
Get
think
that
I
girl,
completely
random.
Get that girl out of the men's bathroom. This is getting ridiculous.
What, you're saying 069 is in the men's bathroom with
069.
The ball?
069. 069.
Wow, Chris, that was a stretch.
Even for you.
I like that.
I don't know.
That's what I'm here for. I'm the comedy
069. Does anybody have that?
Anybody on the internet?
Draw again?
Draw again.
Okay, draw again, guys.
Should we check the internet?
They left. All right.
It's not the internet person.
Oh.
No.
All right, next number is 049.
049.
That's actually one of the online donations.
All right, who won that?
Miss Julie Jenkins.
Julie Jenkins!
No! Julie Jenks cannot have that.
Julie Jenkins.
And she can have whatever
right
she
here.
Wants.
Nope.
Congratulations, this is yours. Go ahead and get a hold of Mr. Sam Fahmy.
No.
And we'll make sure we get this
or
to
just,
you.
Just reach through your...
049, that is correct. Yep. All right, that's pretty awesome.
Julie Jenks is a cheating liar.
No,
I gave her my Frankie bobblehead to take care of me, to take care of for me.
I'm picturing an 80-year-old Morgan Hughes just in a nursing home and being given sponge baths by a Frankie bobblehead.
That's also an announcement from the future. And I've not seen that bobblehead
since Julie Jenks. Follow her on Instagram at Bird Pictures.
All right, so let's go back and talk about this. We wanted to talk about this before the end of the show. Your thoughts overall, holistically, on the Columbus Crew season for 2014. I almost said for 2009. I have no idea why.
Ooh, I know. I have opinions about 2009. What's going to happen? Nothing good, you think? You think by the end of the season, it's going to be good.
So. Morgan, let's start with you.
Actually, we need to go to Greg first.
Okay, Greg, let's go with you.
As a fan, I'm impressed with the leaps and bounds that the Crew made this year. Compared to where they were last year, compared to our expectations, I'm not going to NYCFC. No, my human mind cannot. You know, your human mind cannot grasp how little I want to go to NYCFC. Except for an away game. Moving on.
Continue.
I was really kind of blown away by what they did versus what we thought they would do. How much guys like Tony Chani, Justin Miram, Ethan Finley all stepped up and became damn good players. And produced even when the team was, according to all of us, in desperate need of a striker.
Yeah.
In desperate need of offensive production. The way that the Crew also bottomed out midway through the season and then found their way back up to third place in the Eastern Conference. I was annoyed at the time about the playoff exit and the way that it happened and the way that the team that eliminated them, the way that they played, which is something that we'll touch on when we talk about MLS Cup, but... overall, eventually.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about MLS Cup in January.
That was my little...
And when I say we, I mean y'all.
My little dig there at all of us. Regardless of how the season ended, it was my first time at a playoff soccer game in this country, and I was thrilled. I'm looking forward to good things next year. I'm an optimist.
Llama, your thoughts?
We're giving our thoughts overall on the 2014 Columbus Crew SC / 96 soccer season. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is that what I'm tasked with right now?
Yes.
Short and sweet. I had a blast.
Yeah.
There
That's
you go.
It. All right. Justin. Okay, Morgan, you go. Your mic is not turned the right way.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Well, that's how mics work.
There
you can't
go.
Talk
yeah.
You can't talk to it if it's face wrong.
You can't talk into the side of a
Matt Gosher,
one-directional
Captain
mic.
Stupid idiot. I think that when we look back on the 2014 Columbus Crew, it's going to be one that we see as a season of kind of change and good change and like a build. We can all feel it. All of us that were there last year, all of us that have paid attention to anything on social media, the rebrand, what have you, this was a team that nobody expected anything from and did actually some things. A lot of people came together to accomplish a lot of things both inside and outside the organization. We are primed to win the entire world next year, frankly. You know, I think the Crew are just the odds-on favorite to win the whole world. Matt Gosher, everyone.
Columbus is the greatest team the world has ever seen.
Clap, clap. I was,
And Capo Carl is going to be just, I think, the most important transfer window pickup.
When does he become eligible?
It's tough to say.
He has to graduate middle school first.
That's kind of what my question was.
We
when
didn't
does he
protect
become
him
age?
In the draft. You know, it was either him or Kai Kamara. And, you know, I'm not saying that Greg Berhalter is an idiot for not protecting Capo Carl.
But he's still a homegrown, so we didn't have to protect him this year. But next year we need to protect him or else Seattle is going to pick him up.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. That's true. That's a true story. I was very happy with the way the season turned out. Obviously, would I have liked to see us go further in the playoffs? Of course I would. But, you know, with the expectations that we had and with everything that was going on as far as Berhalter coming in, rebuilding, all of that, it was... What are you doing, Sam?
He's directing.
Okay. But as far as everything else goes, as far as the building that we've done, I think that there's a great foundation for next year. Justin, your thoughts?
It was a really great season. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what you do is you have... everyone sort of judges the year by where you end.
Yeah.
Like they say, only one team can really end on a winning, with a win.
Yeah.
And so, you know, from that perspective, of course, it was a bit of a letdown at the end. But even that wasn't a letdown. I still think that this was a building year. It was a year that, if you think about it, we're less than 2 years into having a brand new ownership of the team.
And yeah.
The things that have happened around the stadium are noticeable, and the feeling that I think the fans have is noticeable, the noticeable change. So that in and of itself is just a tremendous success. You know, again, I think we're going to look back at this year and think this was one of those moments, those years where, yeah, you didn't win everything.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I think of 2007 as being a successful year.
Yeah.
Because that was the year where things changed. And, you know, we've gone through years in the past, over the past few years, where people were so desperate to compare what was going on to 2008.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in 2013, that was one of the things that they... that was sort of tried to be driven home to the fan base, was that 2013 feels like 2008.
Yeah.
And it never did.
It didn't.
I mean, it has to be what it is.
2008 felt like 2008.
Yeah, it's unique.
Yeah.
And so now we're in a new circumstance where things are... I have no idea what's going to happen next year. Maybe we'll talk about that at some point after we find out who we lose, if we lose anybody.
Yeah.
But... Things are sort of changing, and you know, last week we talked about Nico Estevez coming on to into the crew fold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically what we have is sort of a technical director now, and one of the things that was brought up over the year was that maybe this job was too big for Greg Berhalter to be coach and technical director, and you know, I don't think that's the case,
mm-hmm.
but now he has a little bit more help,
yeah,
and it's good help. And so I think the crew are proving that they are adaptable
mm-hmm.
on the fly, which is very unique to where, very different
from where
from
they
where
were.
We were
yeah.
just five short years ago.
That's true.
Because we'll if we're going to talk about MLS Cup, I don't know, but watching the game yesterday, you know, Robbie Rogers didn't have a great game yesterday, but he was on the championship team.
Yeah.
He was starting on the championship team last year. And the fact that he is now sort of in the conversation for a best fullback, in a best left back in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shows just like where we were, where a player like that kind of got thrown aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen now with who we have in charge. I just don't think... I think they're going to... Tony Chine is a perfect example for this. This is somebody who was basically being squandered under the previous regime.
Yeah.
And Greg Berhalter and his coaching staff grabbed him and made him better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we're at, and I think that's a very good thing.
I want to go into that and actually transition into talking about MLS Cup. Finally. I know, weird, huh?
What?
Sam's giving the peace sign.
Oh, I guess we have 2 minutes to talk about MLS Cup.
That's 1 minute to talk about Landon Donovan and 1 minute to talk about everything else.
Some would argue that's 90 seconds.
And by everything else, you mean Robbie Keane?
Yeah. So
I was thinking about Landon Donovan's retirement.
The Los Angeles Galaxy beat the New England Revolution in extra time to win the MLS Cup. Justin, I want to start with you because you'll have the longest answer.
No.
Give me just your thoughts on the match.
I thought the match was really bad.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
it wasn't great.
You know, there was a moment at the end where I saw Rick Thomas tweet something about, like, okay, that's enough or something like that.
Uncle.
Yeah, that's basically it. It's like towards the end, it's like, this can't keep going.
Yeah.
Look, those two, we were talking about, like, how these teams have to play. Good soccer is when teams have identities and they play those identities.
Yeah.
And that game was so Route 1.
It was.
And enough. Enough. This
imagine
is
if it was being played on turf.
Oh my goodness.
God.
It was barely watchable. Yeah. And I like MLS as much as people say. I like watching the league. I do. I like watching soccer.
You say that.
As much as I have a problem with a lot of the stuff that happens in MLS. I consider myself to be a fan, and I had a very hard time watching Extra Time. I just wanted it to stop, and so, but you know,
hey, at least Jermaine Jones got carded.
And I thought,
Not for what he should have been, but
we're less than 1 year away from the Crew hosting MLS Cup now. Like that's a fact. That's
it is science.
I'm good with
it. Yeah, you cannot argue with science. Yeah.
Right.
I read that on the internet.
So
the internet's right.
Yep.
One thing that I want to quickly point out about MLS Cup is that two things. First of all, yes, the quality of the game was absolutely terrible by the standards of what a cup final should be. To the point that we were all talking less about the game and more about the fact that somebody flew a plane overhead.
Oh yeah,
with a banner.
By the way,
and everyone knows what that banner says, and I don't need it. If you missed that,
I was only half watching.
All right,
that was
fine.
A great.
It was. It said U.S. Soccer Promotion Relegation Now.
Yeah. Did Ted Westervelt buy
it?
No, it wasn't Ted Westervelt.
It was not Tim Quayle Ted.
It was not Ted Westervelt. It was not Ted Westervelt, but he did point out on Twitter who it was. But the other thing, I pointed this out on social media, and I'll say it again really quickly. The New England Revolution, I talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks now, their conduct throughout the playoffs, how they've worked the referees and dove and flopped and just been general jerks. They would have been very, very, very unpopular MLS Cup champions, and I think we dodged a bullet.
I mean, it's not like they picked up an opposing injured goalie and then threw him on the ground.
That happened too.
That has the worst sportsmanship ever.
That too. But I did feel sympathy for them after Dan Shaughnessy tweeted about how Boston was a four-team town. If you haven't seen
Dan Shaughnessy.
In fairness, they don't play in Boston, so he's technically.
Well, yeah. Neither do the Patriots.
You
know, speaking of that. 94.1% of the reason that I tuned into that game was to see who Jermaine Jones hit in the mouth. I was excited for the end of that match to see what kind of temper tantrum Jermaine Jones was going to throw when it became apparent they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And there was no chance, because exactly what Greg just said is exactly what is my motivation for saying this, and my motivation for watching the game. As the playoffs went on, they played dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, and
he scissor kicked a guy in two consecutive games.
Yes.
Studs up.
So the next.
And was not called for a single foul.
The next logical progression is to literally punch a guy in the mouth.
What?
And then fall over as though he punched you in the mouth, hoping to draw the card.
Yeah.
And
he
so.
Scissor kicked two men.
Yes. No, I witnessed that. Most of the league witnessed that.
But
Jones still hung the moon and the stars.
It's okay because that's his finishing move, Chris.
I guess Landon Donovan is the boss.
And it's one thing to go studs up into a dude with 1 foot, to go flying Superman scissor kick style
without
studs
being
up with
named
two?
Frankie Hiddock.
Right.
Without being named Frankie Hiddock.
There's no photo evidence.
Guy in A-League got sent off for that after 17 seconds a couple of weeks ago.
It's like NASCAR. Most fans only watch NASCAR for the wrecks. A lot of us who know about MLS Cup and Jermaine Jones only watched MLS Cup to see who he was going to wreck.
Same carnage. Same principle. Yeah.
And I was quite frankly very depressed that he didn't hit anybody in the mouth, because, oh my God, that would have been hilarious.
Crashes are to NASCAR as New England losing is to MLS Cup.
Yes. There you go. And you just passed the SAT.
All right.
Yes.
We got to wrap this thing up. It's been a fun year, guys. Appreciate everything.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
There's two people leaving us.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of them.
Oh, you didn't get that call from INS today?
Nope.
Must have gone to voicemail.
Prison colonies don't leave voicemails, Chris.
That's right.
I was getting to that.
I only got one phone call. I'm sorry.
I was getting to that. So we are, this is the last show of the year. We do have a couple people leaving us. Sam Fahmy, who has tirelessly come out here, eaten his Chinese donuts.
Which I'm going to miss.
And meat on a stick.
He has pushed buttons better than anyone else in the business.
Yes, Sam is going to be leaving us to focus on spending more time having his wife not yell at him for being out every Monday night. And we will miss that. Fortunately, any time that I need to see Sam, I can just say something and use hashtag massive report, and he'll still yell at me. So I could say anything on Twitter, and
you're gonna be like, you can rub the lamp and he appears like a genie.
And the other thing, and we do need to bring his wife in here. So that needs to happen. Actually, three people are leaving us.
Were we cheering for Sam?
Yeah, we were just cheering for Sam.
Yay.
Yes. Yay. So number two person who's gonna be leaving us, Chris Tarian. Is gonna be leaving.
I like how that's a thing now.
Oh no, that's totally.
I've never heard that, and it's weird, and I don't like it at all.
I like it. Chris's new wife is making him quit the show, and she's right here. So Rachel, no, I'm just kidding.
She just
now
smacked
she's hitting
me.
You. Or now she's hitting me. I'm just kidding.
No, I actually
sure
love you. I love you, Rachel.
We love you, Rachel. Thanks for breaking up the family.
Yeah, jerk.
No, I'm gonna go watch American football without fear of retribution.
That makes sense.
We don't watch American football in our house.
I'm gonna American football. You mean MLS, right?
That's what he does mean. No. Yeah.
Chris has been around since the beginning.
Yeah.
So is Sam, actually.
Yeah, Sam.
When they restarted a podcast and didn't invite me for like the first.
We didn't know you existed.
6 months.
In Columbus.
Yeah, you did.
When was it? What year was it?
Yeah, because I was at Hooligans 2010? The first night you recorded.
I know, I'm just messing up.
You're mean.
I know.
So it's going to be, what was the original lineup? Smitty,
it was
Patrick,
me, Smitty,
Chris,
Smitty,
and
Chris,
Sam.
Patrick, myself.
Matt Bernhardt.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're the last of the originals.
Yeah.
Crew Cat
was on for a
Bob.
While.
Good old Bob.
And then Nate Beckman. Are you leaving or are you taking a reduced role? What are you doing next year? Because you've never given me a straight answer on that.
He's taking paternity leave. Nate's doing whatever.
Are you taking paternity leave?
Taking an undetermined leave of absence probably for years.
Okay.
Are you getting a...
Because your wife is impregnated again?
My wife is impregnant.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yes. So you're going to have a second child to take care of.
Yeah. It turns out it's a lot of work.
Surprise!
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thankfully, it wasn't a surprise, but...
Yeah.
No, it's just...
Nate, I have
to... Many hours to do the little write-ups that I did for the podcast stuff. And,
Nate, I have to ask this.
Turn it over.
Will you be naming your second child Brooklyn?
That's a no.
Okay. Will you name it? Will you please name it Staten Island?
What are the other? Won't be Queens because it's a boy.
Ethan Finley named it. Ethan Finley named it.
He did. Didn't he say Ethan?
Yeah.
I don't remember. No, Flynn.
Flynn.
That's it. Flynn. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You could just name it. You could just name it Bronx Beckman.
What's the last one?
Bronx Beckman.
Bronx actually, I kind of like that.
Or Manhattan Beckman. That sounds like a sandwich.
It'd be
Manny Deli.
Manny Beckman. Chalupa Batman.
I mean, theoretically, any word would do. Do we have to go through all of the words?
Chalupa Batman.
So let's start with the A's.
What about Columbus suburbs? I mean, I'm from Columbus.
New Albany Beckman. Dublin Beckman.
I'm in Dublin. It's a little on the nose.
New Albany.
No, that would be a very Dublin thing to do, is to name it after Dublin.
What's that?
Obetz Beckman.
What about Groveport?
Groveport.
The Columbus Zogs.
Awesome town.
Awesome town.
Awesome town. Yes.
That's it. Settled. We've settled it. We've settled it. All right.
Yeah,
done. Gentlemen, we will miss you on the show.
She's the little the emoticon of the like monkey kid going like this. That's what she's doing
right now. All of them.
Oh God, gentlemen, we will miss you on the show. However, we will plow ahead.
Our hearts will go on.
Yes. So for everybody who's contributed this year, people who aren't here: Patrick Murphy, Patrick Gilden, Matt Bernhardt, who's been on the show a couple of times this year. What am I forgetting?
Tony Galifo.
For Greg Benson, Sam Fahmy, Nate Beckman, Alex Stanek, Morgan Hughes, Ryan Gear, Justin Bell, Chris Lamacchia. My name is Matt Goshard. For the last time this year, this has been the Massive Report. I was taught that the human brain was a crowning glory of evolution so far, but I think it's a pretty poor scheme for survival.
Happy holidays, everybody.